Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
When I get on a plane, if I see people who are in Muslim garb, and I think, you know, they're identifying themselves first and foremost as Muslims, I get worried. I get nervous.
Juan feels the way he feels. That is not for me to pass judgment on. His feelings that he expressed on Fox News are really between him and his psychiatrist or his publicist or take your pick.
Right now, the whole world is watching Crystal Cathedral, and that, again, gives us an opportunity to show that God is a big, mighty, provisional God.
I'm reminded of great prophet Jeremiah, who did not have a crystal cathedral. He did not have much of a following. People didn't like him, but yet he was one of the Lord's great servants of the word.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues Etc.
Many Christians will identify themselves as Scripture alone Christians. You'll see it on the signboards of churches throughout the United States. The Bible alone, Scripture alone, something to that effect. We preach God's Word. And yet, do they understand the full scope of what the 16th century reformers meant when they talked about Scripture alone, in particular that alone part, and how particular they were about it being the Scriptures? In fact, it's an old debate. It goes back all the way, well, even before the 16th century Reformation, but certainly during the 16th century Reformation. Many of the kind of more broadly reformational ilk did and still do have a very different view of Scripture alone, even though they may use the same words. We're going to talk about Martin Luther on the Holy Spirit. This is very important. On the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, always together, never separated. Jonathan Mummey will join us here for the first half hour of the program on this Monday afternoon, October the 25th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc., and thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be our guest, as she usually is every week. We'll be talking about Abraham's visitors from heaven, the three that come visiting him under the oaks of Mamre, and the promise that they reiterate and, within a year's time, actually keep. In the second hour of the program, Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch will be our guest. We'll talk about Juan Williams' recent comment about Muslims and see what he has to say about that. Some Muslims, we should say. Ken Samples will round off today's program with us. We'll respond to common arguments made against Scripture alone. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, send us a tweet at issuesetc, or you can visit our Facebook fan page and leave a question or a comment for Ken Samples in the second hour of the program as we respond to common arguments against Scripture alone. Facebook.com/issuesetc. If you're not already a fan there, join the now, I think, almost 5,100 that are fans of Issues Etc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Jonathan Mummey is working on a doctorate in systematic theology at the University of Tübingen. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Modern Reformation magazine titled The Spirit, the Spirits, and the Letter, Martin Luther on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures. He joins us live from Berlin. Jonathan, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks a lot. Great to be with you.
You say that a lot of Christians who, wittingly or unwittingly, who say that they believe in Scripture alone really don't take that concept as far as 16th century reformer Martin Luther wanted it and thought it ought to be taken. What do you mean?
Well, what I mean by that is that as we observe Luther's writings, we see sola scriptura and his understanding of Scripture placed into a larger and broader context of the means by which God himself deals with us, delivering to us the things that Christ won by his death and resurrection. And by not placing that in that larger matrix of means by which God and the Holy Spirit works, sometimes this can sort of be just sort of a shoot-from-the-hip phrase that gets thrown around a lot, but not necessarily pulled into the depth of the way Luther was using it along with these other things.
Well, let's start with kind of the grossest, the most ham-fisted way that people kind of bungle Scripture alone, and that is, as you say, by separating the work of the Holy Spirit from the letter of Holy Scripture. What's at work there?
Well, I suppose this has a rather long history. You can take this back through passages such like 2 Corinthians 2:6, for the letter kills, but the Spirit makes alive. And this can get appropriated and interpreted in something of a Neoplatonic tradition, whereby all of the things that are material, sort of anything you could lay a hand on, like a book with letters on the page, gets separated from sort of the real deal, godly, spiritual stuff. And so in doing that, the Spirit becomes something that is by its very nature sort of, in our minds, separated from anything that is material, anything that you could have rattling your eardrums or, you know, hitting your skin or going into your mouth. And in doing that, we will detach him then from things like the Scriptures. There would need then to be, running with this sort of Platonic system that goes all the way back to Plato, there would need to be some sort of space between whatever the Spirit is doing and whatever is there as material right there in front of us.
Okay, so go ahead.
So I suppose if you look at, you know, some modern manifestations of this, then what you're perhaps trying to get to is the message behind the text, rather than sort of the straight out what is there on the page in front of you. That would be where the real action is going on, which is somehow hidden behind these forms of the written text of the Scriptures as we have them.
There's a lot of, just to kind of talk about the modern manifestations, as you call them, there's a lot of modern linguistic theory that says, look, the letters on the page, the words on the page, are ciphers. They mean nothing until we find out what some sort of objective thing out there they are supposed to represent, and then we have to somehow make a connection there and get our own ideas into the mix and somehow come up with meaning from the text or meaning behind the text. Luther wouldn't have bought into that one bit, would he have?
Well, he is not a man of our times, but I think in some ways the way that he lays his finger on what's going on behind the work of some of his opponents is often quite prophetic of what we see of the debates of our own age. And so one of the things that he found himself faced with in his context was sort of a fourfold use of Scripture. And in that fourfold usage, the spiritual meaning and the literal meaning of the Scriptures were two different things. And part of his hermeneutical turn that can also be then tied to what makes the Reformation such an event, this changing event that shaped his life and set off the Reformation as we now know it, came in realizing and in seeing that the literal sense is precisely the spiritual sense.
So he didn't see any light between how the text read and how someone is supposed to read the text.
Well, now, I suppose if we get into the minutiae of his writings, then if I made an overall statement about how, yes, that is the case, somebody would prove me wrong. The thing is, you can always find a Luther quote to prove the opposite. But in general, he is working with a way of interpreting Scripture where you never get around the words on the page in front of you.
Okay. Let's focus on that. The words on the page in front of you. He had a lot of opponents at the time of the Reformation, both on the Roman side and on the more kind of radical Reformation side, who wanted to do just that, separate the words on the page from the work of the Holy Spirit. Describe it on both sides for us, if you would, Jonathan.
Sure. Well, we often find Luther doing his theology in this context between what some people talk about as two fronts, sort of the more radical end of the left-wing Reformation and then his Roman opponents. I suppose a primary example there at the end of the left wing would be a personality such as Thomas Münzer, who ended up leading the Peasants' Revolt, which ended in a rather bloody uprising. He and some of those sort of in his company or those like him would refer to Luther and the Wittenberg reformers as scribes. So this word from the New Testament that gets, you know, attached to a group that doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of positive connotations with them. And the accusation there was, you boys in Wittenberg, you're always so concerned about the words. You're like scribes. You're caught up in the letter, but what you need to get to is the spirit. And basically what Luther holds out against that is the fact that the spirit and the letter are not separated from one another. If you are dealing with the Holy Scriptures, you are dealing with the Holy Spirit, and there is an order to that. He is working through that means and those words, and if you want to know what he is on about and what he is saying, that's where you look. So no letter, no spirit. That's the way that Luther moved from that concrete and then the Holy Spirit grounded in that.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll get to the Roman side of the debate, which, oddly enough, was very similar to dealing with those who wanted to separate the spirit from the letter on the left side of the Reformation. Jonathan Mummey is our guest. It's Monday, October the 25th. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live. We're talking about Martin Luther on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures. Jonathan is working on a doctorate in systematic theology at the University of Tübingen. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Modern Reformation magazine titled The Spirit, the Spirits, and the Letter, Martin Luther on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures. Jonathan joins us live from Berlin. When we come back, Luther says, if you try and deal with a spirit apart from the letters on the page, you will get a spirit, the devil. We'll see why he said that after this.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support. Equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology Today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Jonathan Mummey is our guest. We're talking about Martin Luther on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures on this Monday afternoon, October the 25th. Jonathan, before the break, you were talking about the Radical Reformation, how they would routinely chastise the Wittenberg Reformers for being so stuck in the words themselves, get past the words or get beyond the words to the work of the Spirit. Did he find a similar argument to be combated among his Roman opponents?
Well, sometimes when we find Luther at his sharpest diagnostic, then he will land the opponents on the right or the left, if we can talk about them, way all in the same boat. And so, yes, there were similarities there. One that pops into my mind right away is, of course, the legendary debate with Erasmus of Rotterdam concerning his writing on the freedom of the will, to which Luther, of course, then responded with on the bondage of the will. And the beginnings of this debate, or some of it at least, surrounded the notion put forward by Erasmus that the scriptures were not clear and that would be better to pull one's hand away from such certain assertions as Luther was making and to instead in the scriptures stay away from those dark places that Erasmus maintained that he could see and encourage the people who may or may not do well to read this themselves more to concentrate sort of on the piety and the morality that is put forward there. And of course, Luther, in this sort of legendary writing of his, maintains that the scriptures are in fact themselves clear. He will even go so far in writings as to say that they are their own interpreter, and then they launch into the great debate of the free versus the bound will. And it becomes clear there that, more than one spirit are at work whenever we're talking about these things. There is our spirit, there is the interpreter's spirit, and there is the Holy Spirit. And so Erasmus was sort of pulled begrudgingly into this larger debate, but eventually was not really willing to side with the reformers, remained loyal to the papacy of his day, and pretty much held that position that the scriptures were not clear. There is darkness there, and then better to finally focus mainly on the morality in them.
In fact, you write that Luther viewed a Christian with the scriptures, reading the scriptures, studying them, proclaiming them, as a bit of an exorcism for the reader, the student, the preacher. What did he mean?
Well, I believe there was a man by the name of Phillips, perhaps, who was translating the New Testament, talked about how he felt like he had live wires in his hands. And so I think comparable is Luther there, as the scriptures go to work on the person who is reading them. The interpreter finds himself interpreted. The exegete finds himself exegeted. We are confronted therein with the Spirit of God, according to Luther, and that Spirit goes about shaping us. It goes about reshaping and reforming us. You can see this, you know, paradigmatically in some of the Psalms, especially Psalm 119, which, of course, Luther from his days as a monk knew by heart. He thought from the Psalms. And these constant prayers that one would be steeped in the Word of God, that it would shape one, had come to shape his thinking as well. And so this is also reflected in On the Bondage of the Will, that he maintains against Erasmus that there's really no middle ground in any of this. Of course, to have free will means that you have some middle free ground where your spirit can then be at work, your interpreting powers. And Luther, against that, pictures us as fallen creatures, as something of a donkey or a mule or some beast of burden, and either you have the Lord on your back, and that's a good thing, his spirit as the one guiding you and shaping your spirit, or it is the evil one who is having his way with you. But neutral ground is not to be found in this arena.
So this explains why within the Lutheran Confessions themselves, a document authored by Luther, small called Articles, he will go so far as to say, and I paraphrase, that if you find a spirit at work apart from the external word, that was his term, you're dealing with the devil, not with the Spirit of God.
Yeah, the small called articles, sometimes, sadly, well, they can be one of the last places that people will turn to in the Lutheran confessions, but he will talk in the same vein, and another point in those about how this great temptation of enthusiasm, which is sort of to look in ourselves and look to our sort of own thoughts and capacities about God as point number one. And he describes enthusiasm, and I paraphrase now, as the old dragon which inhabits the children of Adam from the fall until Christ's return.
Or can we go so far as to say, Jonathan, that when dealing with Holy Scripture, we are dealing with Holy Scripture's divine author himself? And what should that say about how we understand scriptural authority if we're dealing with the author when we deal with the letter of Scripture?
Well, one of the points that I make in this article is that Luther gets to his understanding of Scripture by way of his understanding of Christ. And if you have a God who has taken on flesh, as the Son of God did in the Incarnation, then there is not this space between that which is spiritual and divine and that which is material. The Word became flesh. God took on human flesh. And that shapes his understanding of the Holy Spirit, and that shapes his understanding of the Holy Scriptures. And if this understanding of God's emptying of himself and being so humble as to take on human flesh is running the show, then there is no stumbling point when you get to the pages on the text to say, that is the word of the Lord. You are faced up with him when you are faced up with them.
Did Luther also include in his discussions of the Word and the work of the Holy Spirit, in those means that you say the Holy Spirit uses to bring Christ to us, not only the external Word that is Holy Scripture, but also the preaching of it and the administration of it through the sacraments?
Absolutely. This is his understanding of Holy Scripture, I do not believe, can be sort of subtracted from the larger whole of these concrete and located means by which God deals with us. And so Luther will often talk about the external or bodily word. You can follow this into the German text of Augsburg Confession, Article 5, where in the Latin it's talking about the verbum externum, the external word, and then the German says the leibliches Wort, which is the fleshly or bodily word. And these then become part of a larger whole for him, of the external word of God. Those words on the page, those words coming out of the preacher's mouth, the Bible has its place in the pulpit. And so, unfortunately, so often, at least in the history of Protestantism, I think we have seen those two sometimes played off against one another, and there are mistakes made on both sides, whereas Luther just sort of fluidly holds those things together, never playing off the preached word against the word of Scripture, and never playing off the Scriptures against the preached word. If there's a disjunct there, then we know we've run into a problem.
So, in a nutshell, how do we need to refine or perhaps reorient our understanding of the Reformation principle, Scripture alone, in a nutshell?
In a nutshell, well, I point out in this article that the sola scriptura, unfortunately, and I'm not either, but we're not good students of Latin these days, and that sola scriptura is an ablative, which doesn't mean Scripture alone to the exclusion of everything else, such as the preached word or the creed or the other means of grace by which the Lord is dealing with us, but it's an ablative, which means that things get done by Scripture. And so Scripture, this is how we come to talk about Scripture as the sole rule and norm for teaching in life. It's that which, or that by which, all preaching and all teaching in the church is then judged, against which the practice of the church is measured. But that also then says that the Holy Scriptures are set into that churchly context where there is life of faith going on in the community, in the divine service, as a part and parcel of these other means. for example, in the bondage of the will, the difference between God hidden, the Deus absconditus, and his counterpart is not just God hidden versus revealed, but God hidden versus God preached, proffered, and worshipped. And there he uses Deus cultus, the God that you find in the worshiping structure of the Christian service.
About 20 seconds here.
So to see all of those things then together as part of a unified whole, the holies of Holy Scripture goes along with holy preaching, holy baptism, holy communion, holy absolution. And holy says the Lord is doing it, and he is the one working through it.
Jonathan Mummey is working on a doctorate in systematic theology at the University of Tübingen. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Modern Reformation magazine titled The Spirit, the Spirits, and the Letter, Martin Luther on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures. And Jonathan joined us live from Berlin. Jonathan, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
My pleasure. Thank you.
When we come back, Deaconess Pam Nielsen's going to be with us. We'll talk about Abraham's visitors from heaven. It is true. There is never a spiritless word. There is never a wordless spirit. The Holy Spirit always goes with his holy scriptures. That scripture alone. We'll be right back.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A recent development shows how hypocritical the radical feminist organization called NOW, or the National Organization of Some Women, is when it comes to promoting their cause. The California governor's race has pro-abortion candidates from both parties. A person from Jerry Brown's Democrat campaign called Republican Meg Whitman a very derogatory word that rhymes with bore. It's not appropriate for saying on air. Within hours, NOW, which claims to defend women and abortion, things Whitman represents, endorsed Jerry Brown. It's hypocritical because in reality, NOW only defends their favorite political party. For them, it's all about politics, not the issues. And it's tragic. Both candidates believe it's okay to kill innocent unborn babies.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.